Civic Media app.
ABC News, I'm Richard Cantu. We are one day closer to a government shutdown. House Speaker Mike Johnson postponed the vote on a plan to fund the bureaucracy for 6 months, and only if it included a requirement of proof of citizenship to vote.
He wants to put both Republicans and Democrats on the record as to where they stand on what he believes is an important issue when it comes to election integrity. Democrats would tell you this is unnecessary because, first, non-citizens are not allowed to vote in federal elections in this country. Every now and again, you might see a headline about undocumented immigrants being able to vote. Those are in municipalities and cities.
ABC's Jay O'Brien. Boeing's chief exec warns the company's recovery could be in jeopardy. 33,000 union machinists vote Thursday on whether to strike. Alexander Kane Poplin, U.S. soldier in custody in Hawaii, charged with using a flagpole to beat a police officer during the insurrection January 6th. This is ABC. In St. Paul, Minnesota, a joint team of medical experts and lawyers are taking a look at former Ramsey County medical examiner Dr. Michael McGee. Prosecutors say his false or misleading reports may have resulted in wrongful convictions or inflated charges and be responsible for 7 people being sent to prison. Attempted burglaries of the rich and famous. Former NFLer and TV analyst Reggie Bush in the spotlight.
Reggie Bush's representative says he is safe. L.A. has been dealing with a rash of home burglaries in pricey neighborhoods. The LAPD says around 11 p.m. Tuesday night, they got a 911 call for an attempted burglary. Sources tell us Reggie Bush heard a window break in his home and yelled, scaring away 3 would-be burglars. By the time police got on scene, the 3 men were gone. They never got inside, and Bush did not physically confront them. Broken glass was found in the home. Alex Stone, ABC News, Los Angeles.
And in New York, I'm Richard Cantu, ABC News.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba.
Today's U.S. Bowling League Day. I am not in a bowling league. I think that would actually be kind of fun.
Oh, yeah.
I do like to bowl. But
you got the bowling shirt going on tonight there, Pete.
I do have the bowling shirt. In case the game breaks out, I'm ready. Because I was raised, I'm a street bowler, Chris. I'm ready in case a game breaks out. It could happen.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba. Weeknights from 6 till 8 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app. Matt Nair on air.
Wisconsin Public Radio, Dodge County Clerk's backtrack on using drop boxes after concerns from Republican sheriff in order to prevent the perception of voter fraud.
What is he citing as any sort of proof of concern about this?
Gut feeling.
It's a gut feeling.
Yeah, inherently.
Feel it in your bones.
Yes,
right?
Exactly.
Matt Nair on air. Weekdays 10 till noon on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. Enjoying this local program? Find the complete Civic Media lineup at civicmedia.us or the Civic Media app.
Civic Media News, I'm Derek Tritz. Here's what Wisconsin needs to know. The latest Marquette poll is trending for Kamala Harris. She leads Donald Trump by 4 points among likely Wisconsin voters. The race was dead even a month ago. Here's poll director Charles Franklin.
These changes are all inside that margin of error, but having said all of that, other things look like Harris is in a little bit better shape this time than last time.
The poll was taken before last night's debate. Meanwhile, Tammy Baldwin has a 5-point lead over Eric Hovde among likely voters in the race for U.S. Senate. Governor Evers had to cancel plans to visit a northern Wisconsin high school Tuesday because of a threat. The superintendent in Hurley became concerned about a social media post and canceled school for the rest of the day. Local law enforcement looked into it and determined the threat was not serious. And that's what you need to know. I'm Derek Tritz, and this is Civic Media News.
The Brewers start the road trip off with a win. Hi, I'm Jimmy Cuska with sports, filling in for Mike Clemens. Milwaukee did just enough to get a 3-2 win over the San Francisco Giants on Tuesday. Game 2 in the series is tonight. It's the second game of a 6-game swing out west. Without quarterback Jordan Love available this week due to a sprained MCL, the Packers will go with Malik Willis, who they traded for this preseason. Willis played at the very end of the game with Philadelphia last week. Coach Matt LaFleur said they are getting Willis ready for Indianapolis on Sunday.
You got to play to your players' strengths, so it's our job to try to
come up with whatever we come up with in order to put him in a position to be successful.
It'll be the Packers and the Colts this Sunday as each team tries for its first win. And on Saturday, one of college football's top programs comes to Madison. Wisconsin will play host to Alabama. Kickoff is at 11 a.m. This week, Civic Media stations have a full slate of high school football. Download the free Civic Media app and don't miss a snap this season. Filling in for Mike Clemens, I'm Jimmy Cuska with Civic Media Sports.
This is your local Civic Media radio station. Want to hear even more? Anytime? Find all of it at civicmedia.us.
I'm meteorologist Rodney Price. Stars, a few clouds around in the overnight with light southeast winds. Expect temperatures to be in the upper 50s at sunrise. On Thursday, mostly sunny skies, light southeast winds 5 to 10, highs in the mid 80s. On Friday, look for more clouds. Currently 62 degrees.
Jane Matinair and Greg Bach.
Coming up on the show at 11:33, he joins us every other Thursday. The Acme Packing Company sports guru, Paul Noonan, joins us to talk all things sports balls. Don't miss it.
Matinair on air, weekday mornings at 10.
You're listening to The Eagle, WLCX. Lacrosse is home for Matinair on air.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
Good morning and welcome to Matinair on Air. Jane Matinair, Greg Bach, and Calvin Butenhoff coming to you live from our studio in downtown Waukesha. You can always join us. We'd love to hear from you about your impressions from last night's debate at 855-752-4842 or leave a comment if you're watching on the live stream on Facebook, YouTube, and what used to be Twitter. Very, very busy show for you today. We are going to do a little recap of last night's debate to start things off at 10:33. Looking forward to this. Mary Hayes, who's the chair of the Shequamagon Democrats that covers Ashland and Bayfield counties. Mary Hayes will be joining us at 10:33 to talk about that kind of surprising proposal from Tom Tiffany.
Yes.
To turn the Apostle Islands into a national park. And what would designating that as a national park do?
Yeah.
And is everyone just all excited about this in that area?
Yeah, when we reported on this, when we talked about it, I shouldn't say we reported on it. When we talked about it a while ago, we were like, that sounds great, but...
Why?
But it's, no offense, but it's Tom Tiffany. What's in it for you?
Yeah, what's behind that? So we're going to talk to Mary Hayes coming up about that in a little bit, coming up at 10:33. 11:33, Dr. Lori Hanks will be here for a public service announcement. It is Wednesday. Abortion did come up last night.
What happened last night again?
There was a debate between Vice President Kamala Harris
right.
and the former President Donald Trump. Yeah, so we're going to talk about that. And then we'll wrap things up. Dr. Hanks is very excited about a late endorsement that came for the Harris Walls campaign last night. Dr. Hanks, very excited about that. So we'll wrap up this show with that at 11:50. And if you ever have a question for Dr. Hanks, a health-related question, please email it. You can email it early. Jane Says, J-A-N-E-S-A-Y-S. Just send it to janesays@civicmedia.us, and we will make sure that Dr. Hanks gets your question and we can address it the following week. As we said, though, we're going to start off with your reactions from last night, 855-752-4842. Many clips, so many clips, Greg Box.
The
so
best
little,
clips.
So little time, yes.
The best clips.
We have all the best clips.
The best clips.
Calvin, let's start with that first one with Kamala Harris addressing some of the former president's legal challenges.
President Trump, thank you. I'll let you respond, Vice President Harris.
Well, I think this is so rich coming from someone who has been prosecuted for national security crimes, economic crimes, election interference, has been found liable for sexual assault, and his next big court appearance is in November at his own criminal sentencing. And let's be clear where each person stands on the issue of what is important about respect for the rule of law and respect for law enforcement. The former vice president called for defunding federal law enforcement, 45,000 agents, get this, on the day after he was arraigned on 34 felony counts. So let's talk about what is important in this race. It is important that we move forward, that we turn the page on this same old tired rhetoric and address the needs of the American people, address what we need to do about the housing shortage, which I have a plan for, address what we must do to support our small businesses, address bringing down the price of groceries. But frankly, the American people are exhausted with this same old tired playbook.
I don't think she's wrong. I think the American public is exhausted.
Mm-hmm.
And if we remember and go back to the 4 years under Donald Trump, it was endless chaos. It was endless chaos.
Yeah. We've had to deal with this for nearly 10 years.
Isn't that amazing?
It's just a lot.
And I don't think the difference in vision could have been starker. One is looking towards the future for all Americans.
For all Americans.
For all Americans.
Mm-hmm.
As opposed to let's go back and relitigate 2020 yet again,
mm-hmm.
and how badly he's been treated and how great everything he touched was. It's truly an alternate reality.
Just the sheer amount of whining.
Yeah.
Just all the whining he did. Like, he was good for about 4 minutes.
Yeah. He came off as not nuts.
He came composed, and then that just steadily went away, eroded over the course of an hour and a half, and just became, like, couldn't answer questions, talking over, just wouldn't shut up.
Calvin, did you watch the whole thing?
Yes, I subjected myself to watching the entire thing.
And what did you think? What was your impression?
I wasn't very happy with the moderation. I think if you're going to mute the mics, mute the mics. I thought that was ridiculous. But I thought Kamala Harris handled herself very well. Trump, I would have liked to see him do worse, but he had his moments of stupidity that were very poignant, I guess, and should send a message to the country.
Well, there was just such a difference in the demeanor of these two people.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, at the very top, and this, a couple of these things really stood out to me. She strode right over to him when they got on stage and shook his hand.
Yep.
He would not have done that.
No,
he would not have walked over to her to shake her hand. And the other thing that really stuck out at me was that he could not look at her. He did not look at her for 90 minutes.
Yeah.
And he never referred to her by name. He called her she.
Oh.
He never referred to her by her name. Now, maybe that's just because I'm a childless, dogless cat lady, catless lady who has no purpose in life, that those kinds of things stick out to me as a woman. But I find that really telling.
He also worked to really diminish her towards the end when he said things like, you know, he, referring to President Biden, he hates her.
Oh, yeah.
Like, never in the history of presidential debates, I think, well, maybe not never because I don't know what happened in 1795, but just the blatant arrogance and disdain, pure disdain, saying things in such a fashion that it's just so unbecoming. And anyone who watched that thinking he won, I need the drugs you are on. Share those drugs, please, and thank you.
Because they must be really powerful.
They are amazing. they alter your reality. They make you think things that aren't happening are happening. I mean, just the amount of people who are like, I think he did great. He won. I mean, like, and we could talk about this in a little bit, but the spin room incident.
Oh, that's, yeah, we'll get to that. There is so much to get
to. Plenty more.
There's plenty more. Karina from Milwaukee is online. Good morning, Karina. What is your takeaway from the debate last night?
Well, you know, nothing new really, honestly. But what I want to address and why I'm saying that is nothing new. It's always the same story with Trump, that if he needed to, he will blame the victim to be the victim. Because now he's saying that she was answering too well. and she probably did know the questions. There is a conspiracy behind that, that she's answering so easily to everything what was thrown at her. My thing is, wasn't everybody knew what it's going to be asked? I mean, aren't you coming for a presidential debate?
Right.
And there's the topics for that, and there's the things what people are interested in, and there is a statement you already gave publicly. Wouldn't be, why is it surprised what you were asked?
I will, I'll answer that, Karina. I'll answer that. So in campaigning, when you go into the debate world, when you're getting ready for your debate, you have something called debate prep. Sometimes it's called debate camp. You go away and you spend 1 to 2 days or however many days you can spare, and you cram all of the issues that are important.
What could be asked?
What could be asked? And you have someone either in your campaign, or you hire someone to play the role of the other person, and you prep yourself. You get ready for all those questions on all those topics, so there's no surprises that you can figure out. You have smart people working for you. You can say, like, well, if they throw this softball this way, are you going to be able to hit it? He didn't do that.
Right.
He didn't prep. He never did debate prep. He just thought his rallies were good enough.
And that just, that just shows his
arrogance.
Thank you so much, Karina. Really appreciate it. Yes, of course she was ready for these questions because, as you said, Greg, it's called debate prep.
She is a lawyer.
And the other thing that I saw floating around this morning are memes now that she had earrings on last night and there were pearls in the center. Now, at least one person is claiming that that was a microphone.
Ah, yes, of course.
The hidden microphone where she's being fed the answers.
Sure.
Yeah, I mean, I saw that too, and I've seen it debunked multiple times. It's obviously BS. But they made it a point at the beginning of the debate. The moderator said neither candidate was informed of the questions before the debate. But apart from that, it's like, really, let's brainstorm what they're going to ask me. They're going to ask me about the economy, the border,
abortion.
Israel, Palestine, Ukraine, and abortion. There's really not anything else to ask about.
Well, those are the big things, and you kind of have to assume that that's going to come up when you're at a presidential debate.
This... It goes back to arrogance, hubris. It's something that served him his entire life and now starting to run out. I mean, I just got a notification from Daily Beast saying that Lindsey Graham called the debate performance a disaster.
Lindsey did.
I mean,
for whatever that's worth.
But we saw a lot of other people, though, who were like, oh, he did amazing. So good.
Yeah, House Speaker Mike Johnson was on Fox this morning talking about the great polls that Trump got on the debate from Newsmax.
Yeah.
And the Daily Caller.
Yeah.
Yeah, the Daily Caller, which is okay.
We got a new one in here from Tin Hat Quarterly.
Yeah. What about Epoch Times? Epoch Times weigh in on this?
Oh, my God.
What are your impressions from last night's debate? 855-752-4842. We would love to hear from you. Leave a comment if you're watching on the live stream. You are listening to Matt Nair on Air. This is the Civic Media Radio Network.
What else to do about it? Jason.
This is the talk of La Crosse, Eagle 1490 AM.
Are you ready to start a meaningful career in healthcare? Are you looking for a job that fits your work-life balance? Become a certified direct care professional today and make life better for older adults or people with a disability. WISC Caregiver Careers makes it easy. With free online training plus earn a $500 bonus. See your name on Wisconsin's Certified Direct Care Registry. Sign up today at WISCCaregiverCDCP.com. Sponsored by the Wisconsin Department of Health Services.
How serious is youth vaping?
Irreversible lung damage serious? 1 in 10 kids vape serious? Which warrants a serious conversation from a serious parental figure, like yourself. Not the seriously know-it-all sports dad, or the seriously smart podcaster. It requires a serious conversation that is best had by you. No, seriously, the best person to talk to your child about vaping is you. To start the conversation, visit talkaboutvaping.org. Brought to you by the American Lung Association and the Ad Council.
You're listening to The Eagle, WLCX, Lacrosse's home for Nightlight with Pete Schwabba.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
Wow! I feel good. I knew that I wouldn't.
Good morning. Welcome back to Matt Nair on Air. Jane Matt Nair, Greg Buck, Sweet Calby on the board, coming to you from our studio in downtown Waukesha. Join us. Call or text, same number, 855-752-4842. Leave a comment if you're watching in the live stream on Facebook, YouTube, and what used to be Twitter, talking about the debate last night between Vice President Kamala Harris and former President Donald Trump. A bunch of texts coming in. Going to try and get to as many as we can. Steve from Milwaukee. My favorite was when she said 81 million people fired you. Yes.
Yeah.
Another listener on WAUK. When Kamala first brought up Project 2025, Trump was nodding with a big smirk on his face. And then his immediate response was to try to distance himself from him, from it. Yes, of course. Nothing but lies, blame, and defection from Steve. No facts, logic, plans, or priorities. Just praising dictators and lying about immigration. Give grandpa his meds, put his diaper on, and put him into bed. He wandered into a debate again. And I did think he got more time than she did. He got the last word every single time. And I think they gave that to him because otherwise Grandpa Ranty wasn't going to go on stage. This is complete speculation on my part, but he got every single last word because he has to.
Yeah.
So it's just like, just let Grandpa Ranty go and we'll shut him down eventually.
Yeah. Well, I watched the debate. I watched the C-SPAN live stream. So it was fully no opinions other than the president and the former president and the vice president. But then I turned on an internet person that I watch after the debate, and he tracked it, and Trump had 6 more minutes speaking time than Kamala Harris.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, and it was due to the fact that he got the last word on every single question.
And he would keep talking until they opened the mic up, and then I think it was in the second hour, because she had to go back and address it, they shut her down, and they wouldn't let her talk. And let me rephrase that. They wouldn't let her do the exact same thing they did for him the entire debate.
That's because he gets 2 scoops of ice cream and everyone else only gets 1, Greg. Bill from Oconomowoc is on the line. Good morning, Bill. Thank you so much for joining us. What's your takeaway from last night?
My takeaway from last night, when the election comes, we'll have to be measuring the mental health of this country, because anybody that votes for that guy after that, you have to question their mental health. And last but not least, I'll leave you with this thought. I wanted to watch the whole thing, but when my dog heard they're having dogs for supper in Springfield, he had to go to bed early.
I mean, I feel, honestly, if you follow me on social media, you've seen my puppers. I who doesn't want to gobble her up? I mean, come on now. She's just cute.
She is adorable. Thank you so much, Bill. Appreciate it. And we're going to talk about the whole eating dogs thing and the immigrants in Ohio. Yeah. And we're going to dive deeper into that after the 11 o'clock news.
But he brought up Viktor Orban. Do you remember?
Well, he loves Viktor Orban.
But like, does someone go, hey, just don't cool it on the dictators. Don't bring up any of them.
Yeah, the people in Hungary are not so happy with Viktor Orban, if you want to find out how well that's going. Like we said when we started, so many clips, so little time. I do want to get to a few of these before we get to the bottom of the hour news, and a couple of people mentioned this. Kevin, let's play the clip where Kamala Harris talks about the fabulous and scintillating Trump rallies. Let's take a listen to that.
During the course of his rallies, he talks about fictional characters like Hannibal Lecter. He will talk about windmills cause cancer. And what you will also notice is that people start leaving his rallies early.
Ouch.
Out of exhaustion and boredom.
Ouch. Ooh, way to hit him where it hurts.
Yeah, I mean, you Don't. There's a lot of people out there like, don't say anything about my mom. Don't say anything about my kids. Don't say anything about like all these things that make sense. But you go after his rally performances. Well, sometimes as men get older, performances do go down in style and longevity and excitement. But that really, I think that right there is what started the
decline.
Descent for him just to turn into a red-faced orange man.
And what was his response, Calvin? Let's play that clip, please.
She can't talk about that. People don't leave my rallies. We have the biggest rallies, the most incredible rallies in the history of politics. That's because people want to take their country back.
I've watched your rallies,
yeah,
Mr. Trump.
I've tried to watch your
rallies. I've watched the rallies.
Yeah.
People leave.
Yes.
Because it's the same show. And the jokes are stale now.
And you're talking for 90 plus
minutes. Or more, 2 hours. You expect people to sit there and listen to you ramble,
yeah,
and do the weave. Kenneth from Milwaukee is on the line. Good morning, Kenneth. Thank you so much for joining us.
Good morning.
What did you want to say?
Donald Trump reverse of all the insurrection for January 6th. It seems like if it happened again, he wouldn't. He'd do the same thing he did before, with no remorse.
Yeah.
He would pardon people that were involved in an insurrection that got put in prison. And it's just a bad situation.
Appreciate that, Kenneth. Thank you so much for checking in with us. Thank you very, very much for listening. You can join us as well, 855-752-4842. Leave a comment on the live stream on Facebook, YouTube, and what used to be Twitter.
Yeah, you could. Brendan says on the live stream, you could see the anger when she welcomed anyone to go to his rallies and watch people leave early from boredom. I mean, that too. Like, don't watch his rally. Go to a rally and just see how disappointing it becomes.
And I want to make sure we get this one clip in because this might be my favorite from the entire night. Calvin, let's play. I have concepts.
Yes or no? You still do not have a plan.
I have concepts of a plan. I'm not president right now. But if we come up with something, I would only change it if we come up with something that's better and less expensive. And there are concepts and options we have to do that. And you'll be hearing about it in the not too distant future.
In 2 weeks.
Yeah, in 2 weeks. I said to Pat this morning, that's like going into a job interview and saying, well, what would you do in this situation? Well, I'm not going to tell you. I don't have the job yet.
Right. This was about the health care plan.
Yeah.
And repealing and replacing the ACA with something so much better and so much cheaper. It'll be fantastic.
And they've been saying
which never happened during his administration. First 2 years, they had total control. They could have actually done something and did nothing. Let's play the shorter clip of that, Calvin, that is now my new favorite sound clip possibly of all time.
I have concepts of a plan.
I'm
not president right now.
I have concepts of a plan. I'm going to come in every day, you guys, when we're looking at the show notes, and I'm going to go, I don't have anything written down yet, but I have the concept of a plan. Just flow with me.
Folks,
we'll flow.
If there was ever a better advertisement for watching the live stream, today's show is it, because you are seeing a next level Schadenfreude right here. It's just Jane Mattinair on clouds 9 through 15 and enjoying every moment of it.
It's all good. We'll be back after the news. We have concepts of a plan.
There's news or concepts, and I got concepts of how I have a lot of money.
So many concepts.
The best concepts.
All the best concepts coming up after the news. Stay with us. You are listening to Mattinair on Air. This is the Civic Media Radio Network.
Wow, I feel good. I knew that I would not. I feel good. I knew that I would. So good, so good. But I got you. So good, so good. But I got you. So good.
You're listening to the Talk of La Crosse, Eagle 1490 AM.
ABC News, I'm Richard Cantu. We are one day closer to a government shutdown
House Speaker Mike Johnson postponed the vote on a plan to fund the bureaucracy for 6 months, and only if it included a requirement of proof of citizenship to vote.
He wants to put both Republicans and Democrats on the record as to where they stand on what he believes is an important issue when it comes to election integrity. Democrats would tell you this is unnecessary because, first, non-citizens are not allowed to vote in federal elections in this country. Every now and again, you might see a headline about undocumented immigrants being able to vote. Those are in municipalities and cities.
ABC's Jay O'Brien. Boeing's chief exec warns the company's recovery could be in jeopardy. 33,000 union machinists vote Thursday on whether to strike. Alexander Kane Poplin, U.S. soldier in custody in Hawaii, charged with using a flagpole to beat a police officer during the insurrection January 6th. This is ABC.
Local radio for you and your community. It's Civic Media's mission with stations across Wisconsin. Find your favorites at civicmedia.us.
Civic Media News, I'm Derek Tritz. Here's what Wisconsin needs to know. Work is underway on a project to hook up every home in Superior to the internet. James Kelly has more.
The project seeks to connect about 850 homes in the area to a new fiber network, with plans to expand to every neighborhood in the city. This portion of the project will cost about $7 million of the $40 to $60 million it will take to connect the entire city over 5 to 8 years. The funding was provided by pandemic-era relief money. I'm James Kelly.
A former high school football coach in the Madison area is suing his former employer. Jason Pertzborn resigned last year while school officials investigated an allegation of bullying in the football program. Pertzborn now says he felt pressured to quit. He says school officials lied to him and intimidated him. And that's what you need to know. I'm Derek Tritz, and this is Civic Media News.
Your news, conversations, and a whole lot of fun. It's all on your local Civic Media radio station or the Civic Media app.
On your entertainment beat, I'm Pete Schwabba. Dream Kardashian, 7, has her own Instagram. She's the daughter of Blac Chyna and Rob Kardashian. He's the youngest of proud grandma Kris Kardashian's talentless but attention-hungry clan. But Kim K's son, Saint West, was the first to have a YouTube channel at 8. Not sure what took so long. Before you judge, just know that Kim made her son sign a very strict contract regarding said YouTube account that she shared on the gram. The contract does not involve talking to strangers. Oh no. It has him promising not to share family info, like they do every week on their numerous pandering reality shows, or film anything personal. Really, Kim? St. West, who even at the age of 8 must know his name is nauseating, is also not allowed to film or record when his sibling, North, is recording. That's his 11-year-old sister. You can't be too careful. I mean, can you imagine how people are chomping at the bit to get a bootleg copy of an 11-year-old whose voice hasn't even changed yet? Those Kardashians are hard to keep up with. For more showbiz fun, tune in to Nightlight with me, Pete Schwabba, weeknights from 6 to 8 p.m. on the Civic Media Radio Network.
I'm meteorologist Rodney Price. Stars, a few clouds around in the overnight with light southeast winds. Expect temperatures to be in the upper 50s at sunrise. On Thursday, mostly sunny skies. Light southeast winds, 5 to 10, highs in the mid-80s. On Friday, look for more clouds. Currently 62 degrees.
Matt and Air on Air.
Wisconsin Public Radio, Dodge County Clerk's backtrack on using drop boxes after concerns from Republican sheriff in order to prevent the perception of voter fraud.
What is he citing as any sort of proof of concern about this?
Gut feeling. It's a gut feeling. Yeah, inherently.
Feel it in your bones.
Yes,
right?
Exactly.
Matt and Air on Air. Weekdays 10 till noon on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. Nightlight with Pete Schwabba.
Today's U.S. Bowling League Day. I am not in a bowling league. I think that would actually be kind of fun.
Oh, yeah.
I do like to bowl. But
you got the bowling shirt going on tonight there, Pete.
I do have the bowling shirt. In case the game breaks out, I'm ready. Because I was raised, I'm a street bowler, Chris. I'm ready in case a game breaks out. It could happen.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba. Weeknights from 6 till 8 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app. Pete Schwabba.
On the next Nightlight, it's our popcorn pick of the week at 6:35, featuring Sandy's Popper from Kenosha, Miss Harbor City's Jenna Watkins joins the show, and Al Petrelli from the Trans-Siberian Orchestra.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba, weeknights from 6 till 8.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
Good good morning. Welcome back to Matt Nair on Air. Jane Matt Nair, Greg Bach, Dr. Slide on the board. Coming to you from our studio in downtown Waukesha. You can join us. Call or text. It's the same number, 855-752-4842. Leave a comment if you're watching on the live stream on Facebook, YouTube, and what used to be Twitter. We are waiting to be joined by Mary Hayes, who is the chair of the Shequamagon Democrats there in covering Ashland and Bayfield counties, hoping to talk to her about Republican Tom Tiffany's suggestion that the Apostle Islands be designated as a national park, which seems somewhat unusual for Mr. Tiffany.
Feels too good to be true.
Yeah, and one wonders. Let's say one wonders. So we're waiting to be joined by Mary Hayes. In the meantime, we're going to keep taking your calls and your texts about last night's debate. So many clips, so little time.
Oh, my goodness.
What were your impressions from last night? 855-752-4842. Tom from L.A., thank you for your patience. Tom, good morning. What did you think?
Good morning, Jane. Welcome back. Glad to see her back. I'm back, too. We the people ultimately are the government, and we need to show that by getting registered to vote and getting the vote out by each and every person out there, because we can change this thing, and you can vote same day in Wisconsin, so it's a very important thing. Second, about the debate, remember I always say if Republicans are spewing it, they're doing it. So I'm starting to wonder, Donald Trump must be paying people to actually come to his rallies. I'm sorry that his crowds are not as big as Kamala's, and I really feel bad for him. That you know, size really seems to be an issue for him.
Yes.
In a lot of different ways. So, like I said, I think she needled that perfectly, and I think she should continue to talk about, especially as her crowds get larger. Especially, I'm sure Donald Trump will be saying soon that Taylor Swift's crowds are smaller than his. You know, he's lost it. The guy is old. He is discombobulated, to use one of the words out there for recombobulation area. But I really think that she showed up as the actual California state senator that she always has been. And, you know, she laid out a plan. She laid out policies. And he has nothing.
Yep.
I mean, it's crazy. So anyway, get out there, register people to vote, and vote for Kamala Harris and also Tammy Baldwin and everybody up and down the ticket for the Democratic ticket.
Thank you so much, Tom. Absolutely. You're absolutely right. Everybody needs to vote. Be a voter, baby. Everyone who's anyone is a voter.
Be cool.
You want to check your registration status, make sure you are registered. Mm-hmm. Even if you're already registered, go back to myvote.wi.gov. Make sure you're still on the voter rolls. There are some hinky things happening, not necessarily in Wisconsin, but in other states. And I wouldn't put it past some.
And even without all of the nefarious stuff happening, it's going to be, if you are not registered, it will be a long day.
Yes,
it will. You will be in line for a while, and you want to make sure you have a plan. If it's standing in line, great. But remember, that car breaks down. We don't want you to be out of luck. So it might be in your best interest to vote early. So myvote.wi.gov, find out your polling place, find out your. I think that's it's starting to. We got only a few days left where you can get an absentee ballot as well.
Well, Tuesday, September 17th is National Voter Registration Day.
Mm-hmm.
So if you're not registered, Tuesday, September 17th, National Voter Registration Day. Make sure you vote. And I love seeing the crowds that Kamala Harris has been drawing. Those don't vote.
Rallies don't vote.
Rallies don't vote. Yard signs don't vote.
Mm-hmm.
Boat parades don't vote. They tend to sink. But it's really important. And I want people to be positive, and I want people to be hopeful, and I want people to be energized. What I don't want us to be is smug and complacent because Donald Trump can still get reelected.
Yes.
That is the reality of where we are.
Yeah.
So 855-752-4842 if you want to chime in on this. We are very excited to have our next guest join us. Mary Hayes is with the Shequamagon Democrats representing Ashland and Bayfield counties. Good morning, Mary. How are you?
Good morning. I'm great. Thank you for having me.
Absolutely. So, did you watch the debate last night?
Oh, yes, I did. We had a big party up in Ashland in our Schwabingen Democrat's office. And it was interesting.
any big takeaways for you? I guess one of the things that really stuck out to me, Mary, was that she had to walk over to him to shake his hand at the very beginning because he would not have done that. And then over the course of the entire debate, he could not look at her.
No, that's right. And it just shows the shallowness of Donald Trump. You know, I think Barack Obama said it well during the DNC. It's not about it's about the eyes, right?
Yes.
We all count the lies. Every time he opens his mouth, it's a cesspool of lies coming out. But he doesn't care about anybody but himself. It's all about him. And you could see that again throughout, you know, the debate last night with every question. And, you know, luckily he's so shallow that he was easily goaded by Vice President Harris and showed his true colors to the American people.
And I also thought that she did it very politely. I mean, she did take a couple little zings at him, but she still did it with warmth in her voice and a smile on her face. And I thought it was beautifully handled.
Yeah, I think she and her staff and whoever is preparing her for these kinds of things have really found the key formula for dealing with, you know, Trump. Of course, we've had 8 years to understand all the bombastic kinds of things that he will tend to do in these kinds of debates. So you expect that, but then you find his weaknesses and you prod him on those things. And he doesn't know how to respond except in a fairly toxic way, right? And you saw it with the awful eating of dogs in Springfield, Ohio. You know, I just put my head in my hands. I shouldn't be surprised, but yet I'm always still taken back when a politician like he or J.D. Vance promote these kind of horrible, horrible lies. You know, all these people that are in Springfield, Ohio are refugees legally there from Haiti, trying to make a life for themselves. They would like to go back home.
Yes.
But as we all know, Haiti is a disaster and dangerous. People don't want to live in that situation. So they're trying to make the best of it. They've opened small businesses and restaurants. They're working. They're contributing to the tax base there. And, you know, when Trump and his allies make these kinds of comments, it has consequences, as we've seen over the years. You look at what happened to the two poll workers in Atlanta during the last election, and they accused them of, you know, planting false votes. And these women had to move out of their homes because of the death threats against them. And of course, Rudy Giuliani is paying the ultimate price for that. But this kind of rhetoric is not something that we as a country should want in a president.
And it's not a fantasy. Talk to Mike Gallagher, a Republican who essentially left office because of not because of the threats that he was receiving, but because of the threats directed at his family by his own constituents.
Yeah. I'm surprised James Lankford from Oklahoma is still in the Senate.
Yes.
You know, you can't get more conservative and more supportive of Trump than Lankford, but just because he dared to come up with a bipartisan bill along with another Democrat and an independent to address immigration, not only did his own state party disavow him, but, you know, look at how he was dragged through the mud. And I'm sure his family was threatened as well.
Mary Hayes is our guest. She's the chair of the Shequamagon Democrats covering Ashland and Bayfield counties. Bayfield, one of my favorite places on earth. It is such a beautiful little community. And maybe I'm wrong, Mary, but Bayfield seems pretty progressive, stuck way up in northwestern Wisconsin. What are the rest of the counties like as far as the political landscape goes?
Well, the political landscape always surprises people from the southern part of the state. Douglas, Bayfield, and Ashland counties are very blue. very strong Democratic strongholds. So that runs from, you know, the city of Superior east through Bayfield County and then Ashland County. So that includes the Bad River tribe in Ashland County, of course, the Red Cliff tribe in Bayfield County. We have always voted very blue in that part of the world.
That must be highly irritating for some people.
Oh, it is. Our signs are being stolen, you know, left and right. They're being run over by ATVs and, you know, slashed and all of that good stuff. And, I always tell my members when that happens, come see us. We've got more because we're just going to keep putting them up. And, we're going to go to plywood signs now. We've decided that we're in the big 4x8s, we're going to paint some and we're going to put them in our most visible highway locations and make it really, truly painful for any MAGA who wants to steal a sign. I like to see them load up a 4x8 sheet that's tied down with 6 stakes and wire.
I was going to say, pour some concrete in the ground too.
Seriously,
and stake them in.
Let's anchor that baby. Yeah.
You know, interestingly enough, Greg, I have thought about doing that. Little quick creep, you know.
Yep,
there you go. You get a post hole digger and boom, boom, boom.
Jobs done. Then you can actually make it interchangeable. Put whatever sign you want in there and just boom.
We'll come up and help you, Mary.
Yep.
We'll come up and help you.
We'd love that.
Well, one of the reasons why we wanted to have you on, because we saw this when it first came out and Greg and I both kind of looked at each other and went, what?
Yeah, this seems too good to be true.
It seems like outside of what something that Tom Tiffany, a Republican from Wausau, would normally do. Tom Tiffany announcing a bill to redesignate the Apostle Islands National Lakeshore as a national park. So was this a surprise to you?
Oh, it was a surprise to everyone. So anytime Tom Tiffany gets involved in something involving public lands, radar, you know, red flags go off.
Yep.
Because Mr. Tiffany is not a fan of federal lands. He chairs the federal lands subcommittee in Congress, unfortunately.
Of course.
And right? He's in the hip pocket of developers, of mines, mining companies, and others who really want to come in and have their way with public lands. I'll put it that way. So immediately when this letter went out, and here's the odd thing. Let's go back in history to how the Apostle Islands was formed as a national lakeshore. This was done by a wonderful Wisconsin senator, Senator Gaylord Nelson, who you may remember.
Oh, yes.
He was a two-term governor, then went on to the Senate. He was a senator from like 62 to 81 or so, I think. He always had in his mind that the Apostle Islands were a real jewel that needed to be protected, but he wanted to do it in the right way. He even had legislation come before him when he was governor, and he turned it down because he didn't think it was right yet. So as a senator, then he began the process. He started that process in 63. It wasn't until 1970 that it was signed into law by Richard Nixon. And why? Because Nelson knew that to do it right, all aspects of the impacts of making the Apostle Islands a national lakeshore needed to be considered. So there were public meetings. There were meetings with other constituents, the tribes. And that's how they decided what portions of it would be National Lakeshore and what portions of it would not.
We're going to continue our conversation with Mary Hayes in just a moment. Stay with us. If you have a question or a comment, 855-752-4842. Stay here. You are listening to Matt Nair on Air on the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to The Eagle, WLCX, La Crosse's home for the Todd Allball Show.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba.
Today's U.S. Bowling League Day. I am not in a bowling league. I think that would actually be kind of fun.
Oh, yeah.
I do like to bowl. But
you got the bowling shirt going on tonight there, Pete.
I do have the bowling shirt. In case the game breaks out, I'm ready. Because I was raised, I'm a street bowler, Chris. I'm ready in case a game breaks out. It could happen.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba. Weeknights from 6 till 8 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app. Matt Nair on air.
Wisconsin Public Radio, Dodge County clerks backtrack on using drop boxes after concerns from Republican sheriff in order to prevent the perception of voter fraud.
What is he citing as any sort of proof of concern about this?
Gut feeling. It's a gut feeling. Yeah, inherently.
Feel it in your bones.
Yes,
right?
Exactly.
Matt Nair on air. Weekdays 10 till noon on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. Eagle 1490 AM.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
Good morning. Welcome back to Matt Nair on Air. Jane Matt Nair, Greg Bach, and the Board Lord coming to you live from our studio in downtown Waukesha. You can join us. Same number, 855-752-4842. Leave a comment if you're watching on the live stream on Facebook, YouTube, and the platform that Leon continues to actively ruin. We are joined by Mary Hayes. She's the chair of the Chickamauga Democrats in Ashland and Bayfield counties. And we're talking about this surprise proposal from Representative Tom Tiffany of Wausau to change the designation for the Apostle Islands to a national park. And in an interview with WPR, Mary, Tom Tiffany says that we have heard from so many economic development people, and there maybe have been one or two, like the mayor of Bayfield, who say, no, we don't want any more tourism. But most people are saying yes.
Yeah. Well, again, Mr. Tiffany brought this forward through a letter that he sent out, I assume across the entire 7th Congressional District to town and county boards across that area. There's been no transparency, no personal discussions, no public meetings, no meetings with, you know, tribes, no meetings with local governments, no conversation about feasibility studies, no discussion about the impacts on housing. So let's just talk about infrastructure, all right? So even as a national lakeshore, Mr. Tiffany has voted against all of the monies for what they call continuing maintenance needs for all national parks, which includes national lakeshores. So there are backlogs of maintenance that need to go on at every nationally owned, you know, park, preserve, et cetera, including the Apostle Islands. No discussion about any of that. Where's the money for it? How are we going to handle that? Let's talk about the fact we're stressed for EMS services up here as it is. Now we want to add more tourism. The only way you go to the Apostle Islands is on a ferry Yep. or a boat. How does that work? And then let's just step back and understand that there's certain islands, a small portion, like Sandy Island, that were left out of the national park piece. Also, it's not part of the national lakeshore. And that was done deliberately to allow a marina at that island, which already existed at the time that Senator Nelson brought this legislation forward. But it was very well known and understood in the legislation that, no development would go on Sandy Island, but we would allow it a marina so people could go and visit, right? Well, you open this up to a national park, and the difference between that and a lakeshore, and oh, by the way, it's also been designated as a wilderness back in 2004, is that Sandy Island now gets opened up to mining, to logging, to any kind of mineral extraction or resource extraction that is desired. And this is where my hackles go up.
Sure.
Because I don't trust Mr. Tiffany. He tends to always lie about things or tell half-truths when he's questioned. The fact that he won't show his face in Bayfield, wouldn't come to the Bayfield County Board of Supervisors who have a resolution that they approved, basically saying, no, we need feasibility studies, we need infrastructure studies, we need conversation, we need to consider tribal sovereign rights, because the tribes have rights
yep.
in these islands, and these islands are culturally and religiously incredibly important to our Ojibwe neighbors here in the Northland. So, of course, he didn't care about any of that. So the only thing he's done recently is have a telephone listening session.
Oh, nice. It blows my mind. And this shouldn't be a surprise that there have been no public hearings on this.
Yeah.
That shouldn't be a surprise. That doesn't mean I'm not still appalled by the fact that there haven't been any. And again, going back to this article in WPR, you know, this interview with him, and there he is asked about the Lake Superior Chippewa, their reservations, and he says, "Oh, we've had robust outreach. We spoke with their consultant in Washington, Mary." So that's all he needs to do, apparently. Now it's done, and it's all good.
Right, exactly. And there, you know, is such you can see the dichotomy immediately between what Senator Nelson did back in the 60s and 70s. And even what was done coming into 2004 when George W. Bush signed the legislation to make it also a wilderness area named after Gaylord Nelson, right? Years of conversation and collaboration. Collaboration is the key here. And Mr. Tiffany doesn't want to do that, doesn't know how to do that. He just shoves things down.
So what can, is there anything that people can do? What can folks do?
Well, what folks can do is call him and write him, because very few people, I think, understand that every phone call, every letter that goes to any of our federal legislators is recorded, and it can be asked for as public information to show what level of support or not there are for things like this. So I tell people, inundate him with phone calls and letters.
We're going to help you out emails. We're going to help you
Where
out with that.
Where can one go to find out that information?
Well,
Jane,
can go to myvote.wi.gov get all of Mr. Tiffany's contact information, which we will then put in our show notes so people can find it there and contact Mr. Tiffany. I know he would love to hear from a whole bunch of us.
But remember, be respectful.
Be respectful. Don't curse. Yeah. It doesn't help the cause.
And
but it doesn't mean you can't call nicely more than once.
That's exactly right.
Mary Hayes.
You two are going to be fun together if you ever meet. I'm just going to say that right now.
Mary Hayes is the chair of the Shequamagon Democrats and covers Ashland and Bayfield counties. Mary, the next time you're in Bayfield, stop by Honest Dog Books and tell them I love them and miss them, and I will hopefully be back soon. Mary Hayes, it's been such a pleasure. Thank you so very much. News is coming up next. Stay with us. You're listening to Matt Nair on air, coming to you across the vast Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to The Eagle, WLCX, La Crosse's home for Up North News Radio.
Todd Albaugh.
Hey, everybody, join us next time as we welcome the senior advisor to the Lincoln Project, Trigby Olson, back to the program. Your calls as well. Be there.
The Todd Albaugh Show, weekdays noon till 2.
Most people out here think that taking care of one another is important. And most people would step up for a neighbor going through a tough time. Most people around here help out friends and family when they need it. But the funny thing is, most of us won't look for help when we need it. Talk to someone if you're struggling with mental health, because most people out here really care.
Find more information at loveyourmindtoday.org. That's loveyourmindtoday.org. Brought to you by the Huntsman Mental Health Institute and the Ad Council.
This is your hometown radio, Refreshed, keeping you informed, entertained, and connected locally across the Civic Media Network. Soaring high above La Crosse, this is Eagle 1490 AM WLCX La Crosse, and streaming everywhere on the Civic Media app.